Tech of Sports, featuring Mary Pat Failey, talking tennis and more this week on the Tech of Sports. Modern Life Podcast Network mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget Stitcher Radio and other apps where you can hear all your favorite Modern Life Network shows preloaded. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. Tech of Sports, a production of the Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Welcome, everybody, to the show tonight. And we're going to, with the U.S. Open in progress and kind of winding down, we're going to talk a little tennis tonight with Mary Pat Failey, who was in 2011 the USPTA Tennis Pro of the Year for Southern California. She's an accomplished published author, keynote speaker, and tennis entrepreneur. We're going to talk about all that and a lot more tonight, including a big event that she has coming up. She's been, Mary, but you know, you've been over three decades in kind of working in tennis. So no one better to talk to this week with the U.S. Open going on and a lot of good stories out of New York.
Absolutely. So you just threw me under the bus with saying how old I was.
No, I didn't say how old you were. Maybe you started in tennis when you were one. So I mean,
I did. Absolutely. So at least, you know, when I do anything with Nick Bollettieri, at least someone's older than I am.
He's older than everybody. So, you know, we're all safe saying that we're younger than him. He's in his mid 80s, I believe. So
yeah, he turned 84 this year.
Yeah, but you never know it with the schedule he keeps and all the energy he has when it comes to tennis. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that here in a second. But just kind of give a little introduction about yourself and kind of how you got started in tennis and kind of how you got to this point.
Yeah, I actually originally was from Chicago, Illinois, and my parents transferred out here to California when I was 15. So I wasn't really happy with the move. And I was pretty much a sports, you know, fanatic. Whatever season it was in Chicago, you played, you know, that sport. Then we come out here to California and the first sport was tennis. So I'm like, I can try out for that. And I went to tryouts and there was like 200 kids trying out. And I was like, we didn't have 200 kids at our high school. So I decided to play tennis and I like made the last person on the JV to start, you know, playing. And everyone had private coaches and they were nationally ranked, had tennis courts in their backyards. So I decided I really needed to just play one sport because that's what everybody did in California to get good. So that's actually where I started. I kind of started technically late, but then played a lot and I had a lot of years to catch up on everybody. And then ended up going to school in at University of Alabama in Birmingham on a tennis scholarship. So that's why I ended up then down back in the South. So that was a great college career. I love that school.
Well, a lot of lessons to learn there and what you just talked about. It's never too late to start a sport like tennis, which, you know, you hear people saying that, you know, they're kind of behind the eight ball because they didn't start it when they were real young. But that's not really the case. A lot of fine players have started later in life and tennis players now are peaking later. So I wouldn't be discouraged if you didn't start tennis. But, you know, also a good lesson is you don't have to have all the benefits and all the luxuries starting out. You, you know, as evidenced by the Williams sisters, who are, you know, one of the greatest stories ever in sports. And yeah. you kind of learned that same lesson along the way, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of kids that start really young and, you know, sometimes they're pushed a little bit too much and they end up kind of burning out and quitting before, you know, when it really counts, when you want it to like take you through school, whether it's high school or college, you know, and people that start a little later and they're kind of feel like they're behind the eight ball, it kind of makes your work a little harder.
That's not to say we don't want to introduce tennis to young kids, though. This is a big topic and a big emphasis with the USTA. You can't watch the U.S. Open without seeing the youth tennis commercials. And they're going all in on that, along with some other initiatives. But how, you know, how can we get more young kids interested? We can get them, you know, trying tennis out, but how do we get them more interested in selling the sport to them?
Actually, I think a lot of it is getting them involved early and kind of almost getting on teams. Just like, you know, there's so many kids out here that, you know, go for the soccer where, you know, it's a team thing and you don't have to be great, but then you're with your friends. And it really makes it fun. So it keeps it fun for a long time. So you know, the new red, orange, and, you know, green dot ball, I think has helped a lot to get kids improving faster. So they get good quicker. So their learning curve is shorter. So therefore they want to keep playing. Where I think the old way, you know, when kids weren't super coordinated or really good at tennis right away, you know, it got a little discouraging because the balls bounced higher, the courts were a little longer. So if you weren't really good, you know, you kind of looked at another sport maybe that you were a little more proficient at. So I think that the new way with, you know, the smaller compression balls and the smaller court, it gets kids good faster. And then, you know, we're doing a lot more of a team effort where you're being on a team playing against other teams.
Yeah, I think the good points. I think tennis, though, where in the past we lost some potentially good players to team sports, and we're always going to do that with basketball and football and baseball and hockey. But now tennis is fighting a battle with other individual sports or Olympic sports like golf and you know, and there's other team sports like lacrosse and field hockey that are gaining strength. Soccer is always there. So, you know, tennis is, it's, I wouldn't say it's a tough sell, but it's a competitive environment or a competitive universe now when it comes to youth sports. And I know tennis is always going to get the, you know, their piece of the pie, but they want a bigger piece.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and especially that, you know, they're trying to really make it where even good kids, even Division III now, colleges are so much stronger tennis team-wise than they ever used to be. So you have, your Division I schools, they're always going to be good. Division II schools are good. And Division III, there's some really good players coming out of Division III, as well as the small colleges, too.
What's kind of your take? We're with Mary Pat Faley here talking tennis. We're going to be talking a little about an event she has coming up and some tennis technology here in a little bit. What's your kind of opinion, Mary, of the U.S. Open, where we, as we stand right now, the Americans have kind of flamed out of the men's draw, but Serena and some other good players still left in the women's draw.
Yeah, I think Serena's primed to win the Grand Slam. I think she had a tough mental battle last night against her sister. It's never easy to play, you know, your good friend, never mind your best friend and your sister, especially when you've been practicing with her for years. And my pick for the men is Roger this year. I think he's really looking good. He's moving great. You know, he doesn't look like he's, you know, in his 30s at all. He's playing, I think, better than he ever has, especially with his kind of new tactic of how to shorten the points too.
That's smart on his point. He has been playing better, I think, this year than he has the past few years. He's healthy, and it's going to be interesting to see how the quarterfinals wrap up and then the semifinals take hold in the men's game. We're with Mary Pat Faley here talking tennis. Her website is marypatfaley.com. You can get more information about her. She's an author, a speaker, you know, has a lot going on, and a great promoter of tennis. So I'm happy to have her on. What separates Serena, Mary, from the average or the, you know, the ranked number 20, 15 woman in the world? What is the one thing? Is it the power that really is devastating for her opponents?
To me, it's really more her mental approach to the game. You know, there's a lot of girls that do hit it hard, but you really watch when she's not, even in the last couple of months, she's not been playing her best, but she battles like nobody else. You know, when she's down, she's never out of it. I mean, she could be a set down, a breakdown, almost ready to go down 5-3 in the second set, and she just battles back. Like, her will to win and how much she hates to lose just makes her that whole next level up on everybody else. Yes, her power is important too, but to me, her mental part of the game is stronger than anyone I've ever seen.
And she's got a couple weapons that sure do.
Yeah, well, a couple here and there.
how long do you think that she can play at this level? She's in her 30s. You know, what's kind of the lifespan for what she's kind of doing in tennis, do you think?
You know, kind of what she's done, I see her at least another sort of 5-6 years out. I know that both her and Venus, you know, are looking to the Rio Olympics coming up. So, you know, for sure in the next year, 2 years, they're still going to be way into it with, you know, resetting their goals again. But I think she can surpass anybody in all the different kind of titles she can make. Because she's, as long as she stays healthy.
Yeah, that's the key. Her and Venus staying healthy is absolutely the key. The show here, Mary, is the Tech of Sports, and we talk a lot about technology as it relates to sports and sports in general and some technology in general. Tennis maybe behind the curve a little bit when it's come to a lot of big technological real-time data advances in the sport. That's kind of changing now. I don't know if you've had a chance to try any of the sensors that attach to rackets that give kind of readouts, or any of the smart rackets, and kind of what your opinion is on those.
Yeah, I actually was one of the first ones. I was one of the play testers for the Babolat racket. And I loved how it actually showed you what part of the racket you hit. So it really helped people, you know, and then immediately it went onto your iPhone and you can look at that right away to see how many you hit at the top of the racket, how many the bottom, you know, and the speed with how fast you were hitting it with the top spin, and then the speed it gave you for your serve. It just really helped people, because tennis, sometimes it's hard unless you have a really great video that you can watch yourself. So then it's more about, you know, the feel and the touch. And if you can feel where the racket gets below the ball to get more topspin, and then you see it in the technology, you know, when you put it right away on your iPhone, to me, then people get better much, much faster.
Yeah, but if you put in golf, what they do, Mary Pat, sometimes is they put your swing next to a swing of a pro, and it shows kind of where you go off line in your swing. In tennis, there's so many different swings and types of players. Can they do that in tennis? Can they put you a video of you next to a professional and kind of see where maybe what you can do to improve your swing? Or is it better just to watch a video just of you and have the professional, the teaching pro, kind of point out what you can improve on? What do you think on that?
Yeah, I do it a lot. I set my iPad with a tripod on the side, and I do both. I actually videotape the student, and then we look at it right away. And then also on this Coach's Eye application, I can put another pro that I have pictures of that I already downloaded in there next to them. So just when they, you know, and you can get pretty close to, you know, the swing that matches theirs, whether it's a man or a woman. And just, you can see, you know, the frame by frame of where, like, their racket is according to, you know, Federer's. Where in the backswing, Federer's, you know, elbow is really straight. And a lot of the amateurs, they're not straight at all in the back. So that's why they don't get the same top spin or racket speed that they get.
Yeah, there's nothing really like seeing a video of yourself and having someone knowledgeable point out as you're watching the video, maybe in slow motion, where you're kind of going off with your swing or on a serve. Maybe you're going off on your toss, or maybe you have an issue with footwork. In tennis, footwork is so important. So you know, all those are potential corrections that a pro like you can make, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, a picture's worth a thousand words. I've been using video. It was not really pretty when I used it three decades ago. And now the technology is so easy to show people instantly. And what I really like is the kids, like the littler kids, you know, because they're so iPad oriented, they like to draw on there. And I say, okay, where do you think the toss should be? So not only do they see it, but then they get to draw on it to make sure they know what you're talking about. So you're not just talking to them, you're having them physically do it and how the swing pass should be. So they can actually draw right on the iPad. So they get the seeing of it and they also feel it.
Were you one of those people back in 1990 that was hauling one of those 20-pound video cameras and the tripod out to the court, Mary?
That was me. And the phone that you had to have a carrying case for.
Oh yeah. Oh, yes. The bag, the phone with the bag attached to it. If you had that, you were really somebody important back there in 1990.
Oh, I thought I was, for sure. Oh,
you were. I mean, but yeah,
I'd have kids at like four different locations at a tournament. So I'd be calling to say, okay, these split sets. Okay, put them on the phone. Now I can talk them through the 10 minutes that we have to talk.
And now you can use Skype or Periscope to have that same effect. And all you got to do is carry around the the phone in your pocket. So things have gotten a lot easier and a lot better. But let's talk about the big event you have coming up September 17th to the 20th. And it's going to be at the Calabasas Tennis and Swim Center, I believe. And we mentioned it before, but one of the icons of tennis, Nick Bollettieri, is going to be coming in. Just kind of talk about that event a little bit and your relationship with Coach Nick.
Yeah. So Nick Bollettieri is still at the U.S. Open. So he's there for the 2 weeks going on. And then he's coming from there here to Calabasas. And we're doing like a 4-day, we're calling it our weekend extravaganza. So it starts like at 7 a.m. and ends like around 7:30 at night. We have lots of different things over the weekend for people to whatever level they are and how much involvement they want to get. So we have even 10-minute lessons with Nick that we then are videotaping, so they get to keep that. And you could do 10 minutes, you know, all the way to, you know, an hour. And then we have adult clinics that are 3 hours at a time. So we have a 2-day event and then a 4-day event. So like 8:30 to 11:30, the adults. And then in the afternoon are the kids between, some come at 12:30 to 3:30, and then some are 3:30 to 6:30. And then in the evening, we're doing a meet and greet with Nick. So you can get your picture taken with him, meet him, and then he signs his newest book for you. And then it's basically like an hour to kind of pick, you know, Nick's brain of any questions they want to ask, whether it's something technical, you know, something they see, you know, what he notices now. And then Saturday night, September 19th, there's a big wine tasting party with a catering company making plated appetizers. And then we have some pros playing that Nick's going to talk about what he sees as a coach. And then he's also going to then do a speaking engagement with anybody there. There'll probably be about 100 people or so that then he's going to talk there in Saturday evening while you're sipping the best wines from California.
A nice weekend of tennis and having fun and learning from one of the best tennis minds. It's an interesting story with Nick. When he first started out, he was kind of the renegade and kind of the outlaw coach, Mary. And this has kind of gone come full circle. Now he's highly revered and people seek his knowledge and advice. But, you know, what a transformation and just what a career he's had.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's just like, I don't know if you know, but Mark Spitz's coach, you know, the swimmer who won so many gold medals before Michael Phelps did. You know, he never swam, but he studied, you know, so much of that. And that's really where Nick comes from. You know, he sees things in seconds that he can make one correction and it corrects, you know, 10 other things in their game that you don't have to talk about. So, you know, that's the difference between, you know, the coaches that are so good and they just see that main thing that fixes the other things. So you only really have to tell them one, you know, quick fix that changes everything else.
I could use some of that advice for my golf game.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm that's always a work in progress. And of course, everything on the event, the Nick and Pat's weekend at the Calabasas Tennis and Swim Center will be information's on marypatfaley.com.
Correct. Yeah. There's different parts of it. You can do the 2-day tennis, the 4-day tennis, you know, the wine tasting, the meet and greet, or even the private tennis lesson with Nick.
So something for adults and juniors and maybe even beginning players.
Yeah. As long as you can rally, you're going to be involved in that weekend of tennis. And, you know, we also have a couple of the colleges coming that Nick's going to help with them playing some matches and him giving his input. And we also have some underprivileged kids that just don't have the means. So we are getting buses and shipping them up to Calabasas so that they can experience Nick with him coaching also. It's actually the one of the places that Serena and Venus played when they were young in the heart of LA.
Oh, great. Yeah, absolutely. That is true. So bring your racket and go to marypatfaley.com, see what's available. And what's keeping you busy these days, Mary? Are you mainly working with juniors or What kind of takes up most of your time?
Yeah, I actually kind of have a pretty even mix with juniors and adults. I also coach my daughter's middle school Chaminade private team, which is really fun. You know, I feel like I can make a big difference in the sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. We can actually coach, you know, during the games where...
Oh, nice.
Coaching, you know, on the weekends with all the big tournaments, you can't coach unless they split sets. So it kind of makes a big impact, you know, on every changeover. You get to kind of give a quick input to help the kids. And then I have a lot of... sorry. Go ahead, Rick.
Nope. I was just going to say they have the coaching on the WTA tour during the regular events. How do you feel about that? Once set, the player's coach can come on the court. What makes it also kind of unique is the TV cameras, and they're mic'd up so you can hear what the coaches are saying. How do you feel about that dynamic?
I love that. I think the men are going to follow suit pretty soon. Because, you know, really the coaches, it's so hard sometimes when you're in the thick of it to figure it out. And it sometimes just takes that coach to say, you know, you just got to play a little more aggressive and come to the net. You've only come to the net three times. And every time you come in and put pressure on your opponent, you know, you're successful 80% of the time. You know, something that simple can really change the whole complexity of a match.
So are your middle school players, are they actually listening to you? Or when you talk to them, are you mainly just trying to calm them down and try to, you know, tell them, have fun, stay the course? Or are you actually feeding them tactics?
Actually, I go anywhere from I walk up and they're hysterically crying because they think they can't hit a ball in the court.
No, a middle school girl crying. I can't believe that.
I know. It's shocking. Yeah. I actually had more of the boys crying than the girls. Okay. But I have to keep that a secret sort of. But yeah, it's actually, you know, quick tactics like, you know, just higher percentage of the first serve in, take a little bit off and get the first serve in, you know, or just play more to their backhand. You know, or they forget that they're left-handed. So sometimes just simple corrections like that really make a big difference. You know, and they play that no add point scoring. So that 1 point makes a big difference in a match.
Yeah, that 3-3 point is it's great when you win it, but it's devastating when you when you lose that point.
Yeah, so and, you know, that's what all the colleges are starting to go to.
Yeah, how do you feel about the colleges going to the no add scoring? It's going to speed up the play, that's for sure.
It speeds it up, but, you know, you could hear that it's a, you know, 6-2 or 6-1 set, and you think, oh, they killed him. No, you could add like 4 no-add points. I mean, I think it mentally makes you tougher, but if you lose a couple of those, that's kind of the whole set right there.
Yeah, I've seen 6-2, 6-1 matches at playing no-add scoring that were much closer than the actual score, so... we're wrapping up here with Mary Pat Bailey, and just want to let everyone know the show here and the network has Amazon as a sponsor. We're proud to have Amazon, and you can go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon for any and all of your shopping. Basically, this you go to that link and then it takes you into an Amazon. You can just do all your shopping, your purchases on Amazon like you would normally do. No extra cost to you, and it helps benefit the studios here at the Modern Life Podcast Network. So once again, just go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon and then commence or begin your shopping at that point. So Amazon, of course, is everything under the sun. And Mary, is your book available on Amazon?
It is, yeah. If you order it, it's on Amazon. It's also on my website. If you order on my website, I can sign it for you and ship it out to you in 2 days.
Wow.
Yes, so that way, sometimes that's a really nice gift, you know, especially if you have a doubles partner that you either like or you want them to get a little better and not get you killed at the net.
I had a few doubles partners like that in my career.
Yeah. You weren't sure if they were your friend or your foe, huh?
Well, no, they meant well, but you know that's the difference between singles and doubles. In doubles, you're actually relying on a partner. And your book, of course, is called "Winning in Tennis and Life." It's more than just about tennis. So available on Amazon, and you're also a big proponent of spending a lot of time on YouTube. You have YouTube videos that you've produced as well. How's YouTube been for you?
It's been actually really good. I take that, which is kind of my joke, is I don't count higher than four. So everything I do, I just teach in threes because most people can't remember more than three things. And I do quite a few, probably about 5 to 6 weekend events a year in different places. Like we're doing one in Palm Springs the first weekend in November, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And I actually have a lot of people that come in from Florida, Texas, Atlanta, and it's for the whole weekend. So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday of all tennis. And we have some trainers also come out. So it teaches our tennis players how to stay injury free with good warmups, good cool downs, and also things they can do during the year to, you know, get stronger with their core and stuff.
Perfect. Always promoting tennis and promoting being healthy while playing tennis. That's really the key. Tennis is no fun when you're injured.
No, you have to watch, unless you have the U.S. Open's on, so you can watch it while you're icing your ankle.
A lot of retirements, though, at the U.S. Open. A lot of injuries late in the year here for tennis. They've a lot of these players have played, more than 20 tournaments. That's a lot of tennis.
It's a lot of tennis. I mean, especially as physical as the game's getting, you know, they sometimes almost spend more time in the gym than they do on the court.
Yeah, it's for people that think tennis, remember back to the days when they were tapping the ball around. It's not that way anymore. And it's amazing a guy like Roger Federer and even Djokovic's been pretty injury free their careers. They stayed injury free. And of course, the results have been there as well. So, Mary, how can people get a hold of you if they have questions and anything else you'd like to promote as we wrap up?
Yeah, you can reach me through my website that you said, which is marypatfaley.com. Also, you can email me at MP10, which is 10S at AOL. And I'm happy to answer any questions, or sometimes people send me their video and I look at it and send it back as I talk through it. So I've been starting to do that a lot also. Or come visit me at Calabasas or come to Palm Springs in November.
Absolutely. I will spare you emailing my video to you, Mary Pat,
because that would be fun.
That would be like a horror movie. Maybe it would, there would be screams and yelling, and that would just be from me on the video. So, definitely I want people to check out, especially people in Southern California, the, Nick and Pat's weekend extravaganza, September 17th to the 20th at the Calabasas Tennis and Swim Center. That sounds like a really good event. And, hopefully, maybe you can help. In lieu of me not being there, maybe you can help Steve Pratt with his game, Mary Pat.
Yeah. Steve needs a little bit of help. You know, he's a good watcher. He's a good sideline coach, but I got to get him running around on the tennis court.
He's all talk. Let's just leave. And he hasn't bought anyone a lunch in about 12 years. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm gonna have to get after him for that.
Yeah, definitely. So, great talking to you, Mary Pat, and great information. And want people that will have all the information in the show notes that will go up. So thanks for coming on the Tech of Sports, and thanks for talking tennis a little this week.
Thanks so much, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Just hold on while we wrap up, and just want to let all the listeners know that the Modern Life Podcast Network has many other shows which may be of interest to you, and you should go over to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Not only check out the Tech of Sports, but all the other shows that are available, the show notes, and then links and streams of all the other shows on the network. They're doing a really great job there, along with Two Thumbs Up Media, the podcast and internet broadcast directory set up by the people here at Modern Life Podcast Network. That's twothumbsupmedia.com. I want to thank everyone for listening to Tech of Sports this week. U.S. Open will wrap up, and we'll be back next week with another great show. So you've been listening to the Tech of Sports, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.